Lecture 10, The Papacy and Religious Reform.
In this lecture, I plan to look at the role of the papacy and religious reform in Western Europe in the launching of the Crusades. And this allows us to look at really two important issues. One is a popular conception, one that actually has some medieval justification to this, that the popes in Rome had launched this crusade as somehow a means to assert their authority, whether it be over the Greek church, that it was ultimately an avenue for extending papal political power. Another issue that is more important to the point is that issue of the nature of authority, secular versus spiritual, in Western Europe, which was quite different from what existed in contemporary Byzantium and the Caliphate. Now, as to that first point, it seems pretty clear now that popes such as Gregory VII, who actually launched the notion of a crusade, or his successor, Urban II, were really in no position to launch military expeditions to extend papal control. They had the papacy had a very rudimentary administration, even by the standards of feudal Europe. At best, popes could inspire, but they could hardly direct and command the crusading armies. There's no doubt that the princes who went on crusade, especially in the First Crusade, but even in subsequent crusades, certainly paid homage to the pope. They saw him as their spiritual leader. The news was sent back at each victory to Rome. But there was nothing of the notion of some kind of plot on the part of the papacy in Rome to subordinate the Greek church or to capture the holy places from the Muslims. Instead, it's more useful to look at the development of the Crusades, the religious background to the Crusades, as part of a wider story in Western European society, and that is how religion came to be defined in such a way that Western Europeans on the eve of the Crusades were beginning to see that there were two separate authorities, spiritual and secular, that they were not one and the same. And I stressed in several earlier lectures that this was really quite remarkable. And in some ways, the Caliphate in Baghdad, or in Cairo, if you prefer the Shiite version of the Caliphate, was much closer to the late Roman ideal of Constantine that political and religious authority rested in one place, and in the case of the Islamic world, in one man. Byzantium was not too far removed from that. They were heirs of that late Roman tradition. But in Western Europe, an important historical premise developed where faith and politics were somehow to be distinct, that there was a whole secular world and there was a spiritual world. These were separate authorities, separate figures who represented them. Now, the relationship between these two authorities could be debated, and they will be debated continually through the Middle Ages and even down to this day. But this is a unique aspect of Western society and is responsible for a whole bunch of developments in Western civilization that make it quite separate from other civilizations. At the time of the launching of the First Crusade, as I mentioned earlier, this issue of the relationship between secular and spiritual had not yet really been defined. Popes had long looked to traditions going back into early Christian documents that they were the heirs of St. Peter. As early as the 3rd century A.D., there was a doctrine of papal supremacy. It was actually advanced by St. Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, who then conveniently ignored it when he clashed with the Pope. But nonetheless, the notion that Rome was the sole patron authority in the western half of the empire, and Rome also happened to be the capital of the Roman Empire, meant that Rome had a position superior to all other archbishops and bishops in the Christian world. It is ironic that in the early Middle Ages, in the 7th and 8th centuries, in the period that saw the great expansion of the Islamic Empire that led to the weakening of ties between Constantinople and Western Europe, that it was largely Greek-speaking popes that really began to develop this notion that the papacy had some type of doctrinal primacy in all matters of Christian faith. These were popes such as Theodore of Tarsus, who came from the hometown of St. Paul, and others who were refugees displaced by the Arabic conquest, who in a sense were more Chalcedonian, that is, more behind the traditions of the Fourth Ecumenical Council than anyone else. They would not compromise with various confessions in the East. Once they were relocated to Italy, they upheld their position, their doctrinal positions, and looked to that tradition of papal primacy as a way of backing up the fact that they were right. And the Sixth Ecumenical Council in 681, in effect, confirmed that in that notion because all of their positions were confirmed, and the emperors, in effect, made an admission that they were wrong and that Rome was correct.